to our Wednesday night service. We're certainly so thankful for each of our members who have joined with us. And, of course, for those who are not members and not even in Singapore, but you're joining with us by way of the Internet, we are certainly thankful that you have joined with us this evening. For those who have received a copy of the study notes, you'll find that on the very front there, we are asking that you continue to pray for our youth camp. That is ongoing, even as we speak tonight. They're having our online youth camp. And so let's do pray for our youth as they are being ministered to, that God will work in each heart and in each life in a very great way. If you have your Bibles this evening, let's turn together, if you would please, to the book of Ephesians and chapter 4. Book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Some years ago, it was a rainy evening, and I boarded a plane in Chicago. After we pushed back from the gate and taxied out to join the line of planes that were waiting to take off, the weather suddenly intensified with strong winds. Bolts of lightning were flying everywhere. There was thunder. There was driving sheets of rain. And the air traffic controllers, following their safety protocols, basically stopped everything. The flight crew informed us that incoming planes were being diverted to alternate airports, and that the planes that were there at O'Hara Field were not allowed, or were not being allowed, to take off until the storm front had passed by. And so we're in the queue waiting for takeoff, and everything has been stopped. And it was amazing that as we sat there for nearly an hour and a half, how people reacted. Amazingly, there were some who actually became angry. They became angry because their schedules, I guess, were being interrupted. They were blowing up at the flight attendants, verbally abusing them. It was almost like they thought that the flight attendant could somehow have the power to stop the storm so that we could take off and go on to our destination. Many of those who were not blowing up at the flight attendants were loudly venting to whoever it was that was unlucky enough to be sitting beside them. Of course, logic, if we stop and think about it, logic tells us that becoming angry about something that we, and no one else for that matter, can ever control or ever change, to become angry about things like that it's really very foolish. It's really very foolish. And yet the truth of the matter is we see it all the time. We see it around us all the time because the fact is, as much as we may try to conceal it or cover it over, we pretty much live in an angry society. We live in an angry society. Mark Twain, the American novelist, certainly he was not a Christian, but he was absolutely right when he said this. He said, "Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured." Certainly some very wise words to consider. We've been dealing with the giants that all of us have to face in our lives. Giants that are, they're bigger than we are. Giants that are stronger than we are. Giants who seek to pull us away from God, and giants that seek to drag us down into sin. We've seen the giant of bitterness, and then we've seen the giant of history. But now we want to deal with another giant. It's a very strong giant. It's a very powerful giant, and that's the giant of anger. So let's begin by noticing three things we want to notice together tonight. Let's begin by noticing, first of all, number one, let's notice sinless anger. Sinless anger. You say, "Pastor, is it even possible? Is it even possible to be angry and not sin?" Well, the truth of the Bible is, that's exactly what the Bible commands us to do. In Ephesians chapter 4, we found the place. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, the Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not." We're commanded. We're commanded that when we are angry, that our anger should not lead to sin. I've read that the Greek philosopher, Aristotle once said this. He said, a man who is angry on the right grounds against the right persons in the right manner at the right moment and for the right length of time deserves great praise. Certainly, that is a very true statement. And that's exactly what we're talking about when we talk about sinless anger. Let me give you two examples of sinless anger that we find in the Scriptures. First of all, number one, there's the example of Moses. The example of Moses. The Lord God, you remember, had brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt with his omnipotent hand. He brought them through the depths of the Red Sea. He provided for them water there in the wilderness out of a rock. And then he brought them to a place called Mount Sinai. There Moses went up, you remember, and he met with the Lord God. And there Moses received the law of God written on two tables of stone by the finger of God. And while all of that was going on up on the mountain, while all of that was going up there on the mountain, you remember the people made a golden calf and they began to worship it. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 19 and verse 20, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel to drink. In other words, when Moses saw how the people had so quickly turned away from God and followed after idols, he waxed extremely angry. In fact, it says his anger waxed hot. His anger waxed hot. The example of Moses. Example of Moses. Notice also the example of Jesus. The example of Jesus. You remember the Lord Jesus in John chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 17, he went to the temple. And there we see the anger of the Lord Jesus on display. We see his anger on display as he made a whip. And he drove out those merchants who had turned the temple of God into a place of selling merchandise, selling sacrificial animals. He also, we see that he kicked over the tables of the money changers who were setting up shop there in the temple of God. And the Bible says in Matthew 21, verse 13, that he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. And so we see that Moses showed anger, very hot anger. The Lord Jesus demonstrated anger in the way he responded to those who had set up shop in the temple. But I want to tell you that neither Moses nor the Lord Jesus sinned in their anger. Because in each of those scenarios, there were three things that were true about their anger. Three things that were true. First of all, letter A, their anger was not sinful because it was unselfish. It was unselfish. You see, sinful anger is always rooted in self-interest. Sinful anger is always rooted in self-interest. Did you notice it? The anger of Moses, the anger of the Lord Jesus had nothing to do with them personally. Their anger had nothing to do with them personally. Rather, their anger was an anger that arose because God's honor was at stake and God's glory was being ridiculed and belittled. The bottom line, sinless anger is never concerned with what other people have done to us. It's never concerned with what others have done to us. Rather, sinless anger is always focused on how the acts of other people has offended the holiness of our God. In other words, sinless anger, not focused on self, focused on God. Notice letter B. Not only was their anger sinless because it was unselfish, but it was also sinless because it was released. It was released. In other words, neither Moses nor the Lord Jesus held on to their anger. They did not hold on to it. Now, I enjoy camping. And I've observed that during the night, a campfire will die down. And then the next morning, it will appear that that campfire is totally dead. It'll appear that the campfire has totally gone out. But underneath the gray ashes, you'll find that there are some coals there that are still smoldering. There's some coals there that are still hot. And if you just poke it a little bit and add a little fuel and blow on it a little bit, the fire that you thought was dead, it will suddenly flare up again. It will flare up with a vengeance, in fact. And that's exactly the way it is with many people and their anger, even though it may seem that their anger has cooled. Because they are holding that anger. They are nursing that anger. They are refusing to let go of that anger. The slightest little poke and the slightest amount of fuel and just a gentle breeze will cause their anger to flare up and to burn hot all over again. The bottom line is simply this. Any anger that is held, any anger that is nursed over time will soon become a giant in your life. It will soon become a giant. And the frightening thing is that the giant of anger, if it is not released, can actually transform into another giant, which is the giant of bitterness that we dealt with just a couple of weeks ago. And so their anger, it was not sinful because it was unselfish. It was not sinful because it was released. Let her see. It was not sinful because it was purposeful. It was purposeful. In Psalm chapter 6 and verse 1, the psalmist said this. He said, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. I want you to notice here that our Heavenly Father is never indifferent when it comes to the sins of His children. God is not indifferent with our sins. Rather, our sins cause our Heavenly Father to be angry with us. You remember the example of Moses? In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 21, Moses sinned against God, and the Bible says God was angry with him. You remember the example of Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse number 9, Solomon sinned against God terribly. And the Bible says God was angry with him. And our Heavenly Father is angered by my sin. He's angered by your sin as well. And that's why He chastens us. That's why He chastens us. But you need to remember that His chastening, it's never motivated by vengeance. And it's never motivated by a desire to destroy us. Rather, while it is true that He's angry with us because of our sin, He still lovingly desires what is best for us. Even though He's angry, He desires what is the best for us. And so He chastens us. And notice how the Bible describes it. In Hebrews 11, or chapter 12, verse 11, in Hebrews 12, 11, it says, No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You see, when we sin, God is angry with that. He is angered by that, and as a result of that, he will then bring chastening into our lives. But the purpose of the chastening, it is a purposeful anger that brings chastening to the point that we might bring forth the fruits of righteousness. That's why God allows chastening to come into our life. Someone has well said, anger without a purpose is not a rebuke, it's a tantrum. And we all know that there is nothing more immature and there's nothing more childish than a temper tantrum. When we consider the anger of both Moses and the Lord Jesus, it was for the purpose. It was for the purpose of correcting an offense that had been committed against the holiness of the Lord God. It wasn't themselves that they were focused on. It was God. It was God. And therefore, their anger was sinless. It was a sinless anger. Now, with that, let's turn our attention now to the other side of the coin. And let's talk about number two, sinful anger. Sinful anger. Let me just give you some Bible examples. And as we go through these, we're just going to go through very quickly. But as we go through these, just sort of consider in your own life, are there any of these that maybe you can identify with? Maybe you can identify with them. So let's consider letter A, Esau. Esau. The story is found in Genesis chapter 27, verse 41. The Bible says Esau became filled with anger. And it was a murderous anger. And the reason why he became filled with an anger that made him want to commit murder was simply because he had been cheated by his manipulative brother. He had been taken advantage of. He had been cheated. You ever been there? You ever been angry about it? Sure. Sure. Sinful anger. Sinful anger. Notice letter B, Jacob. Jacob in Genesis chapter 30, verse 1 and 2, Jacob became angry when he was faced with unrealistic and unreasonable expectation that he could never satisfy. His wife said, "You give me a child." Wait a minute, children are a heritage that comes from God. It was a request that was unrealistic. It was a request that was unreasonable. It was a request that he could never satisfy, and therefore he was angered by that. Have you been there? Maybe at work, unrealistic, unreasonable expectations have been placed on you by your boss or by your coworker, and it angers you? Sure. Sure. Letter C. Balak. Balak in Numbers chapter 24, verse number 10, Balak, the Bible says, became angry when Balaam disappointed him by not doing what Balak had expected him to do. Have you been there? Met frustration because someone did not do what was expected of them? Letter D, Samson. Samson in Judges chapter 14, verse 19, Samson became angry when his confidence was betrayed. And it was betrayed by someone who was very close to him. His confidence was betrayed by his own wife. And he became angry because his confidence had been betrayed. You ever been there? Why, sure we have. Sure. How about letter E? Ephraim. Ephraim. In 2 Chronicles 25, verse number 10, the northern kingdom of Israel, which was sometimes referred to as Ephraim, because Ephraim was the largest of the tribes within that kingdom. But Ephraim became angry with Amaziah and the southern kingdom of Judah. When they were made to feel unneeded and unwanted and unappreciated during a time of war. Anybody ever made you feel unneeded, unwanted, unappreciated? Did you get angry about it? Well, yeah, we probably did. We probably did. Consider letter F, Ahasuerus. In Esther chapter 1 and verse number 12, Ahasuerus was the Persian king, and he became angry when his wife, you know the story, Vashti refused to appear at his royal party, and as a result of that, Ahasuerus lost face. He lost face before his princes and his servants. And because he lost face before those who were around him, he became filled with anger. You ever been there? Why, sure. Sure. And there are others. There are others as you go through the Bible that we could mention. But you get the idea, right? You get the idea. In each of these scenarios, there is one common denominator. In each of these scenarios, one common denominator. Here's what happened. Someone became angry because of what someone had done to them.